I love small potatoes. Fingerlings are my favorite, sautéed in butter until golden brown and seasoned with salt and pepper. Yet in 1836, small potatoes was disparaging. When the idiom small potatoes first appeared in the mid-19th century, its meaning was clear. Potatoes were a staple food, keeping millions of people from starvation, and it was obvious that bigger was better. I suspect aging is the same idea as small potatoes. In fact, I know it is, as I anticipate my 61st birthday next week. There are many things I have done that I do not wish to do again, but I'm immensely grateful I had the chance to do them or try them once or twice in my life. Now, they are small potatoes as I grow long in the tooth. Oh, how we are affected by the aging and dying and the lingering life here on earth. Things of the past are of little matter, especially as they relate to those moments when life seemed to be falling apart, or the hard times we somehow survived. Tomorrow is upon us, and our lives have been at constant risk, trial, and torture, especially if we claim to love the Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a beautiful reminder of our days spent here on earth and our ultimate hope as our own end draws near. The message tells it in a clear and simple manner. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown back, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believed it, so I said it." We say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace. More and more people. More and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These are hard times. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Your life, the entirety of it, may indeed have been nothing more than an ordinary clay jar. I suspect not. but I know how I often feel when I'm alone. That my life hasn't counted for much and often feels like a dusty, fragile clay jar that has been broken, maybe even forgotten. On one occasion many years ago, I wrote down everything I had ever done in my life that I felt was an accomplishment. I won't read the list to you tonight, but I must tell you, it was quite an impressive list of accomplishments, achievements, and wins. I imagine your life is just the same. The lives you have touched are too many to count, and the reason you haven't taken the time to count them is that in your lingering life, your focus and your priorities have changed. I have a friend. He is 91 years old. He's a rancher and still lives on the family farm that his grandfather farmed many, many years ago. I told him, I hope when I turn 91, that I am in as good a shape as you, my friend. At the same time, I can see age taking its toll each day of his life. Regardless, he stays cheerful and full of courage and resolve. This gentleman seems to be an exception for the elderly. Recently, my mother-in-law came to live with my wife and I. She was 95 years old. For many years, she has wanted to die and go to heaven to be with the Lord. She was tired of this life and had fallen about 6 months ago and didn't want to pour herself into getting better for her own well-being or for the sake of others. Eventually, she went downhill and refused to eat or drink. She quickly became confused and disoriented, yet only days before her mind was clear as a bell, able to laugh, talk, and remember most anything in conversation. The night before her death, she lay in bed talking to someone. I believe it was the Lord. At one point, she sat up in bed, her arms outstretched, staring into the dark, and clearly uttered the words, "Forgive me, Father." The rest of that night, she uttered what sounded like prayers, her eyes studying the darkness before her. She passed the following night as my wife sat next to her, stroking her head, singing, "As the deer panteth for the water." As my wife and I processed her mother's death and life, we felt certain she was asking God's forgiveness for giving up. It is not always the case as we grow older that we have clear minds and able bodies. But should we grow old and die like Moses, who was 120 years old when he died, and Scripture tells us, "His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." In other words, his eyesight was good and he had a spring in his step. My mother-in-law and many, many people I know have given up and already decided this life is past, and then there is no more to be done, no more that can be done. The lingering life has lost all hope. I live in a community shrouded by the elderly, aging, and sick. Many of my friends have given up hope, are shut in their homes, and simply waiting to die. I don't believe God's plan for our lives is to be quietly extinguished, a lingering life that is simply snuffed out one cold, dark eve. I believe God intended something different for our last days and moments here on earth. Undoubtedly, we have all known someone who has grown too ill to talk, walk, think, and often breathe on their own, and it may well be what best for the Lord, in His mercy, to take them home. But for those who know the Lord and call on His name up until the finishing moment, the lingering life has much to offer this world. In his memoir, Nearing Home, Life, Faith, and Finishing Well, Billy Graham wrote these thoughts. I can't truthfully say that I have liked growing older. At times I wish I could still do everything I once did, but I can't. All my life I was taught how to die as a Christian, but no one ever taught me how I ought to live in the years before I die. I wish they had, because I am an old man now, and believe me, it's not easy. Stay involved, he says, and spend wisely. Look out for the hidden perils of depression, anger, and self-absorption. Sometimes I have to force my mind to turn away from whatever problem is absorbing me at the moment and make myself focus on the needs of others. Graham asks the question that I want to pose to you tonight. Are you willing to be used by God regardless of being bound by physical ailments, financial constraint, or the loneliness of growing old? Is it possible you can get involved in your church or other ministries, help others who are ill and grieving, and have you built a mature faith through books and personal study of the Bible? God forbid that we should ever retire from prayer, the sweetest work of the soul, Graham writes. Have you developed a relationship with the Lord and God the Father that is so reflective of His heart that your spiritual eyes and attention remain fixed on Him? Graham asked the same question in his book. I often wonder if God, in His sovereignty, allows the eyesight of the age to cast a dim view of the here and now, so that we may focus our spiritual eyes on the ever after. Ecclesiastes 7:10 puts it well. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. In other words, wise people who have put their hope in God don't ask questions such as this. Why? Because God tells us in Genesis 6:3 that He will not always breathe life into man, and that His days are numbered. Abraham died a good old man, full of life and full of years. Elizabeth bore John the Baptist at the age of 88. Sarah, Abraham's wife, bore Isaac at the age of 91. Noah spent 120 years building an ark with his sons. Job started his life all over again after losing everything. Simeon lived to be an old man, promised he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. Paul lived into his mid-60s, not old at all, I would say, and had he not been executed, he would have lived a long life of encouraging others in their faith. I know many, many people my age that are far from living a life that is representative of serving others, making God known, and finding themselves immersed in prayer and Scripture daily for their spiritual maturity. In just a moment, I'm going to share with you some beloved quotes on growing old gracefully. For those of you who are listening tonight, I'm your host, E.W. Helmick, and it's my privilege to be with you this evening on Midnight Harmony. You can read more about Midnight Harmony and our partner ministry, Help World Tour, at www.helpwt.com. Everything we do here on this program and in ministry throughout the world is made possible by your donations and support. If you would like to support our ministry, you'll find a donation link on our website. Again, that's www.helpwt.com. We would love to connect with you through your subscription to this program or by following us on Facebook. What insight can we glean from those who have grown old before us? I look forward to growing old and wise and audacious. Glenda Jackson. The mere process of growing old together will make our slightest acquaintances seem like bosom friends. Logan Pearsall Smith. The thing about growing old is you have to accept it. If you don't, you'll be as miserable as sin. You've got to try and find the few good things about it. Judy Parfitt. When we age, we shed many skins: ego, arrogance, dominance, pessimism, rudeness, selfish, uncaring. Wow, it's good to be old. Stephen Richards. Anyone who stops learning is old, whether at 20 or 80. Anyone who keeps learning stays young. Henry Ford. Today is the oldest you've ever been, and the youngest you'll ever be again. Eleanor Roosevelt. Clever and heartwarming quotes on growing old. Yet perhaps the most appropriate quote tonight is to look once again to the familiar words of Billy Graham. When granted many years of life, growing old in age is natural, but growing old with grace is a choice. Growing older with grace is possible for all who will set their hearts and minds on the giver of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're much more likely in this day and age to see a doctor for our ailments and take his or her advice than we are making spiritual preparations with equal fervency. If you set your heart today on growing older tomorrow, and you seasoned your heart today with prayer and scripture, then I believe you position yourself into the giver of grace and the Lord's mercy. It's like making preparations for your will or a visit to the doctor for a checkup to review your medications. When I was in high school, my sisters and I were going to go see a movie. I don't recall the name of the movie I wanted to see, but on the way to the theater, we passed the Century 21 Theater in Denver. There on the marquee was an advertisement for the movie Camelot. My sisters were so excited and decided that that was the movie we were going to see. With a glum face, I followed them into the theater for an afternoon matinee and slumped into my seat, my arms crossed. How miserable the next 2 hours would be. A love story. A musical. Ugh. 2 hours later, I couldn't get out of my seat. My heart was lost in the world of Camelot and the beautiful and tender final words of King Arthur as he sang a lullaby over his beloved people and land. Each evening from December to December, before you drift to sleep upon your cot, think back on all the tales that you remember of Camelot. Camelot. Ask every person if he's heard the story, and tell it strong and clear if he has not, that once there was a fleeting wisp of glory called Camelot. Camelot, where once it never rained till after sundown. By 8 a.m. the morning fog had flown. Don't let it be forgot that once there was a spot for one brief shining moment that was known as Camelot. The seasons of life are upon us all. We will not escape infancy without the influence from our parents. We will not escape adolescence without the influence of our peers and some bruised knuckles and knees. We will emerge into adulthood arrogant, and as Dr. Seuss put it, adults are just obsolete children. We will enter elderhood with some hope of a future, some aspect of dignity, and a learned way of people and life. My hope is that you will enter elderhood with years of prayers and scripture which have seasoned your lips, your heart, and your mind, and that have been a treasure of gold for everyone you have known along the way. Don't give up now. Why would you give up now? Everyone is on the same boat. We're all on the same journey. And if you've known the Lord, then your journey has been sweeter than most. Begin fresh today. A new start, a new fervor by which you desire to share your faith and see God's light revealed here on earth. Make a commitment and a promise with the Lord that for as long as you are able, you will sing His praises. You will make His name known. And in His mercy, if He will sustain your mind and your health, you will shout with praise and jump with joy for His name's sake, so that all who come into your presence are given the opportunity to come into His presence, too. Winter is long here where I live in Nebraska. I once lived in the high country of Colorado at an elevation of 10,000 feet, nearly tree line. I can tell you, winter is even longer there, almost 6 months long. Spring brings with it warmth and flowers, but also wind and dust in the farmlands. Summer is a delightful time, and I spend as much time as I can at the local sandpit swimming with my grandchildren, lap after lap. I love to swim. But I think now that I'm growing older, autumn is my preferred season. So many things ending and changing all at once. It is the season that calls to the soul with its many splendors of color. It always arrives too soon, but often lingers like a welcome friend of old. Sit on a park bench and enjoy the foliage and leaves of splendor, or plop down on a pumpkin in the middle of a patch gone orange. C.S. Lewis wrote it ever so sweetly. Autumn is really the best of the seasons, and I'm not sure that old age isn't the best part of life. Embrace the season of your life. If you find there are no family members or acquaintances that want to embrace it with you, know there is a God of grace who wants to spend every waking moment with you. So make it count. Tell Him your fears. Ask Him to forgive your protest of growing old. And thank Him for your youth. Forsake me not, Lord, when my strength is spent. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Psalm 71:1 reminds us, and goes on to say, deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Be of good courage, my friend. We will all grow old, some of us together, some of us alone, but all of us under the care and the mercy of a loving God and Father. Put your trust in Him tonight. Find yourself in Scripture and find yourself in prayer. And find someone that you can love on, that you can serve, and you can share His goodness for His glory in your aging years. God bless you. Godspeed. May His richness, His blessings be upon you tonight. Thank you so much for joining. This is Midnight Harmony. Good night.